Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:06 British Summer Time. Today is April 10th. Today has been a rather eventful day. And if we start off in Asia, the Japanese market was stronger by about 0.7%, but the banking sector, which continues to lead the wider market, moved on to new high ground. And that's perhaps one of the more important aspects. We generally look at the banking sector as being a necessary component to fuel a bull market because as liquidity providers, banks are should benefit in a bull market environment because bull markets thrive on liquidity provision. The Fed's meeting today also helped to bolster confidence, and the fact that the minutes were released early and within Europe's trading time really helped to fuel additional confidence in Europe. And when I mentioned yesterday in yesterday's audio that there had been a distinct lack of upper dynamics in Europe, well, that was resolved in here today. The Eurozone bank sector, the stocks, banks had its largest upward dynamic since at least September, and that's coming in the region of the psychological 100 level, which was also the region of the lows back in the third quarter of and fourth quarter of last year. So it's a it was the first area of potential support. It's in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's getting a good bounce in here. The Spanish and Italian markets were both stronger today, in excess of 3%, the DAX by over 2%, and the FTSE over 1%. So this is really quite an impressive rally. And the FTSE banks, which have been pulling back, also steadied in here today. So that is also quite comforting from the perspective of the bulls. And on Wall Street today, the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high, and it's closing out the day up 1.26%, and the peak is at 1588, so it's about 12 points higher than its all-time peak previously. And while the Transports Index and the Dow Jones and the S&P are relatively overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, they still have these progressions of higher reaction lows, and in the case of both the Dow and the S&P, a step sequence uptrend. And in order for a mean reversion to take place, then progressions of higher reaction lows would need to be broken, and that at present would be last Friday's low for the S&P. And in the absence of clear downward dynamics, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The Nasdaq today was stronger by about 1.8%. And Apple, which has held the index back somewhat in the last 6 months, has stabilized in the above $400. And it was a bit firmer in here today. I think it was stronger by about 2%. But on a PE basis, it's somewhere in the 11s, and it yields about 2%. And as one of the bigger companies in the world, it's probably a lot more attractive today than it was back at $700. And it does appear to be building support here above $400 and is looking potentially interesting from an investment perspective at this stage. And if that wasn't fireworks enough, the news just in the last 20 minutes that the Cypriots are going to sell about 10 tons of gold in order to raise 400 million euros worth, or 400 million euros to help fund their bailout, has been taken rather badly by the gold market, and gold was down by $25. It's back to $1,559. And while 10 tons is a significant amount, and it represents, or at least it highlights the fact that whereas with a commodity like oil, that there, once it's burnt, there isn't any recyclable value. With gold, all the gold that has ever existed is still very much in existence. And that represents an overhang of supply. And with Cyprus, they need the money. So they're liquidating part of their holdings. People will start to think, well, is that going to be a precedent? And a country selling its gold is more often than not the absolute last resort. And they really are pulling out all the plugs to bolster their position. But in the meantime, what we now need to see from gold is an upward dynamic to stem the potential for additional downside. The ETF holdings of gold dropped below 8 million ounces, I think it was sometime in early March, and we haven't seen an uptick. It's back below the 200-day moving average, and it's the first time it's been below the 200-day moving average in 10 years. So that is also a bearish aspect to the market now. There are a considerable number of bullish arguments one might make about gold. And in an environment where the main talking point in here today was about just how much liquidity the Fed is going to add in the event that jobs, the unemployment rate doesn't decrease to its liking, then the argument for having something which can't simply be printed into existence is certainly compelling for quite a large demographic. But it really is all about supply and demand. And the fact that a sovereign is selling 10 tons of gold is a significant amount of supply overhanging the market. And it is going to take time to work that through. And they're obviously not going to sell it all in one go. At least one would hope that they're not going to do that. I don't think they'd be allowed to do that in terms of the way that central banks can sell gold. But it represents an amount of supply that has to be absorbed by the market before we can see higher prices. So that means that we need to see clear evidence that demand is returning to dominance in order to gain more confidence with gold at this stage. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, oil has steadied and WTI is holding here above $90. And natural gas, which has been ranging below $4 for much of the last 18 months, broke upwards in the last few days and it's stabilized above $4. And provided it can hold above the 200-day moving average on the next pullback, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to additional upside. And that should help to improve the fundamentals of a number of those shale gas drillers in the USA that had become somewhat overextended in the rush to secure their leases in the last few years. So higher natural gas prices should certainly help at least that portion of the energy complex over the medium term. With stock markets posting upward dynamics and the S&P 500 hitting a new all-time high, then US Treasuries were weaker today by a full point. And that suggests that the short-term overbought condition continues to be unwound. And what we are looking at is that stock markets are becoming the favored asset. And that has certainly been the case now for the last few months, particularly Wall Street. And government bonds represent a potential topping characteristic from the perspective of the very long term. And the way we monitor that is with the Merrill Lynch 10-year total return index. And that is another extremely consistent index. It hasn't ever really sustained a move below the 200-day moving average since its inception, which was back in 1983. And if we do see that index starting to break below the 200-day moving average and then encounter resistance in the region of the MA, we'll have confirmation that the bear market in government bonds has begun and that a top has been completed. In the meantime, we've had a short-term overbought condition in government bond prices that is currently being unwound, and a clear upward dynamic would be required to check potential for some additional downside in here. When we take a step back, we're in a very exciting time, and central banks have helped to fuel the bull markets that we have enjoyed since 2009. And while that has been abhorrent to the Austrian school, the fact is that this flood of liquidity that has been finding its way into just about every facet of the risk asset environment continues to expand. And the quantitative easing that we have in the USA is virtually open-ended. And until unemployment comes back to a level that they're happy with, we have to remember that the velocity of money is at an all-time low, but it's a lagging indicator, and unemployment is a lagging indicator. The economy has to really pick up quite a bit before unemployment starts to catch up with it, and that does risk potential inflation down the road when growth does turn to become self-sustaining at some point in the future. Then employment is unlikely to be a lead indicator for that. And it does leave the Fed open to the possibility that it is going to court inflation in future. But that is very much a problem for the future. And in the present, the fact that the Fed has an open-ended money printing operation and that the Bank of Japan is doing everything it can to weaken its currency and promote growth by printing yen, and that the ECB has got an open window open avenue for banks to borrow at the deposit window, and that's unlikely to change. And the Bank of England remains committed to its quantitative easing program. So when we look at major central banks around the world, it's hard to find one that hasn't been increasing the supply of money. And that has been the fuel with which markets have been running to the upside over the last number of years. And when we look back at 2009, 2010, and 2011, the large pullbacks that we've had were generally associated with the end of various quantitative easing programs in the US. And the fact that the more consistent environment that we've enjoyed over the last number of months, and probably since last summer on Wall Street, and the fact that that has been associated with the Fed's open-ended commitment to purchasing $85 billion a month in primarily mortgage-backed securities, and that that has resulted in a more consistent environment in stocks, does suggest that the link between the addiction to increasing liquidity and the consistency of the stock market is really quite tense. So if we do at some point see growth returning to a self-sustaining footing, then that is likely to change the way the Fed is acting. And if that results in not even the removal of liquidity, but stopping increasing the amount of liquidity that is being brought into the market, then that would be a potential catalyst for a significant drawdown. But in the meantime, we're presented with higher reaction lows, and we're seeing an increasing number of markets hitting new highs. And as long as that remains the case, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.